And good morning, and thank you. Thank you for your invitation, Phil, as well. It's really a good time of year to join together. So God of light, be our light. Fill us with your spirit so that we may hear and understand and do what is your will. It was quite interesting when Phil was sharing the memories of the soldier in Afghanistan, because I come from a family with a tradition of service in the military. My great-grandfather won a DSO fighting in the trenches in World War I, and my grandfather, who died just a couple of years ago now, was ashore during the Normandy landings in 1944, and I'm wearing his campaign medals. I'm the oldest grandson, so they came to me. I'm very proud to wear them. But he earned quite a few, as you can see, through his career. My father climbed the military ladder from the rank of junior leader to... he started as a junior leader, as a boy soldier, and finished as a major. But the most profound and difficult time for him was the 1970s and the early 80s in Northern Ireland. I was at school when the bomb exploded, and I can still see the windows in my mind's eye smashing from the blast wave. My mother was walking through the camp with my sister in her pushchair to pick me up. But school children, parents, and civilians were evacuated to a nearby farm. Soldiers, and my dad included, were mobilized from their barracks to help the walking wounded and to give comfort to those on stretchers. And four soldiers were killed. On a subsequent tour of duty in County Fermanagh as RSM, my dad buried six of his soldiers who had been murdered on duty. And if I speak to him about his experiences, he often says this. He says, "Was it all worth it? And was it simply politics? Or was it Catholic versus Protestant? I will never know the answer." I think to try and find an answer, we actually need to turn the clock back 500 years, when that young German monk began the Protestant Reformation, shattering the authority of the established Catholic Church. Luther caused a theological earthquake. And as the Reformation spread throughout Western Europe, it was marked by bloody episodes of warfare and violence. And as the course of history winds on and on, and repeats itself, sadly, there is a definite link between religion and war. In the First and Second World Wars, German Lutherans were fighting English Congregationalists, English Presbyterians, Anglicans, Catholic against Catholic, Christian against Christian, padres on both sides praying for godly wisdom for commanders and safety of the military. And let's not forget also that 400,000 Indian soldiers who fought in World War I were Muslim. Remembrance is an important occasion for their story to be told too. And then we come back to 2017 and the days leading up to bombfire night. Tetnal was noisy with all these bangs and rockets lighting up the night sky. And having multicultural neighbours who had celebrated Eid just a few weeks before, here's all these fireworks exploding, and we don't bat an eyelid. And yet 76 or so years ago, any whistling rockets would have made us run for cover to the nearest air raid shelter. How terrifying was it to have lived and experienced the Blitz, to have lived through that? Today, Islamic terrorists are fighting a jihad. That's a holy war against the infidel. That's us. Remember the religious rhetoric that was used by Ian Paisley and Gerry Adams at the height of the Northern Ireland Troubles. And the Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, who gassed and bombed the Kurdish people, well, he made a great show of praying on TV. So it certainly seems that many conflicts, unfortunately, involve religion. The 17th century satirist Jonathan Swift said this. He said, "There's just enough religion in the world to make men hate one another, but not enough to make them love." And in today's secular environment, which is so often hostile to Christianity, atheists have a field day with that argument. Without religion, they say, there would be no Israeli-Palestinian conflict, there would be no troubles in Northern Ireland, there would be no Islamic State. But other people have taken extensive studies. And in 2008, so I know it's going back a bit, some people examined nearly 2,000 wars throughout human history, and the study found just 123 to be religious in nature. So that's a little under 7%. If we dig beneath the surface, it's not just religion. It's power-hungry, mad dictators. It's issues with economics. It's politics. And there are many other factors that lead to war. Thankfully, until a deal is struck, Brexit will remain a war of words and nothing more. Spain has got something else to think about other than Gibraltar with Catalonian independence. And terrorism aside, there really is no threat to Europe for now. Nevertheless, the sound of Rachel weeping for her children is still being heard, isn't it? Since we last held the silence, across the world, thousands upon thousands of people have been killed in conflict. And folks say this, they say, if God were truly merciful, he would not punish innocent people or allow evil people to get away with wicked things. And it's a real corny thing to say, and it's corny because it's the age-old question. It's the very question that's asked by Job in the Good Book. But we of faith know that faith is not about demanding answers. It's living with the questions. It's having full assurance in trusting him, faith. And if you read the last few chapters of Job, then this is what jumps out from its pages. But also in the Bible, God often ordered the Israelites to go to war with other nations. War is never a good thing, but sometimes it is a necessary thing. Galtieri took the Union Jack. We had every right to defend and annex the Falklands in 1982. And people say this, if Hitler had not been defeated in World War II, how many more thousands would have been killed? Of course, the Christian answer is that we live with something truly wonderful called free will. We're not programmed by some cosmic computer programmer who's at the back end of the universe just watching how his program is going because he's hit the enter key. We're made in the image of God, and we can make choices. But because our world is a fallen one in which injustice and hatred is the order of the day, humanity has a flawed past, and war, trouble, and conflict happens. Some of you, I'm sure, will have been to the National Armed Forces Memorial Arboretum. Currently, it bears the name of 16,000 service personnel who have died in the heat of battle or terrorist action or on peacekeeping missions since World War II. And there's room on its walls for 15,000 more names to be carved, those who are ready to risk their lives for this country. And that's why Remembrance Sunday allows the reality of war to touch our souls. And yet, in the Most High God's great mercy, all I've ever known is peace. I've got no experience of armed conflict. It's like the little girl who asked her mummy why she's wearing a poppy, because she doesn't know what war is. And her mother replies, yes, and that's exactly why we should wear them. So absolutely today, thank the Lord for the peace we currently enjoy. But brothers and sisters in Christ, when the scroll is opened, be prepared, because Jesus' second coming will be especially violent. The prophecy of Isaiah tells us this, the Lord goes forth like a soldier, like a warrior. He stirs up his fury. He shows himself mighty against his foes. He will have no compassion on his enemies. He will judge and conquer them, making war with justice. War is always the result of sin. And in a world filled with sinful people, humanity is going to get what it deserves, because outside, and dare I say, even inside the church, there is no fear of God at all. Yet God is a righteous God, a God who has made a holy promise through his covenant with mankind, and he never forgets his steadfast love towards us, even when foolish people like us forget to love him back. The New Testament texts that we heard this morning, I think, are particularly relevant. and I think they give a hopeful message for today. From Romans 5, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. We will all die of something. We will die of disease, of accident, of old age. But some people die for something. And this dying for something instead of waiting to die of something is it's very prominent for us, isn't it? Because it points us to the ultimate sacrifice that was made in Jesus Christ. Today, we're remembering the sacrifice of many, but it's the suffering of one man, the most important man who has ever walked this earth, who has brought reconciliation, justice, peace, and the salvation of others. And I think this is the strongest affirmation in the entire universe. Someone once said this: the agonies of a million battles were spearheaded into one as nails clasped Jesus to a rough hewn cross. Christ risked his life and lost it, but his death was not in vain. And crucially, because of his blood sacrifice, we are freed from the wrath of God, and through faith in Jesus, we are reconciled with him. The lamb looked as if it had been slaughtered, but the heir to David's throne has won the victory, and his blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You see, we build on our imperfect present, remembering that while we were still his enemies, our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son. So history is moving towards a God-ordained and morally satisfying conclusion. The image of Jesus as lion and lamb will be revealed, and you want to be on his side when he returns. And if you look to the future under God's new history, the Lion of Judah will execute perfect judgment, justice, and that will be served on the wicked, and the lamb will show mercy on his own people, who in the new creation will be soothed, they will be healed, and they will be made perfect in God. And right now, we can start to enjoy and rejoice in that wonderful new relationship. Every Remembrance Sunday, we fully appreciate the struggle and the sacrifice of those who have died in war to secure our freedom. And I may not have joined the armed forces, but I am a soldier of the King. And we need a rallying cry. So onward, Christian soldiers. Let's be a kingdom of priests for our God. Let's really witness his grace to this hurting world, knowing that our salvation and release from the captivity of sin was only secured by the Father giving his Son in our place. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. His blood has ransomed us for God. So blessed indeed be his word and love in the Messiah. Thanks for listening. Will you pray with me, please? O God, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come, may we in our lives be examples of your love. Sanctify us for the work of your holy kingdom. Forgive us and take away our fear through the dying and rising of Jesus, your Son, and our Saviour, friend, and King. Amen. Thanks be to God.